excited about what God's doing right now. You know, it's kind of funny to me. The Lord has been putting on my heart for the last, I don't know, month or so about his love. And there just seems to be a recurring theme. Like, we had, you know, Josh came up and just gave you just a great expose on what the love of God is, right? But there is so much more to our relationship with God. And see, when we look at how we relate to people, what does that mean? I think a lot of times we got this Western mentality about what a relationship is. I think, you know, have you ever had people go, have you ever had someone go, I don't have a really good relationship with my son, or I don't have a really good relationship with my daughter or my father, or, and you can just name it. And we get those words, we kind of mangle them together to make it sound like I do have a relationship, but it's just not a good one. And, you know, the thing that the Lord's been showing me for the last few weeks is the fact that relationships are not usually what we believe, right? I think a lot of times we think, do I like John? John Fant, he's sitting over here. He's nice and summery right now. Look at that outfit. I like that. I wished I had your courage to wear that outfit. I don't think I could. I probably could, but it's just something in my head. I can't wear blue shorts like that. I don't know why. But anyway, you pull it off, though. You're awesome. which I don't pull shorts off very well anyway. But, you know, if I just said that me and John, that I didn't like something John did, or me and John, we just don't get along. Man, every time me and John are around, he talks about ministry, and I want to talk about guitars. Or he talks about, his business, and I just want to talk about, I want to talk about football, right? We kind of look at that and say, well, I don't have a good relationship with John. And what I want to kind of define for us before we get too far down this path is what a relationship is. I also want to define what like is, because a lot of times we try to make them the same. Relationship and like should be the same. Well, if I like Lee, but I just don't like John, then I don't have a relationship with them. Maybe John, but I can have a relationship with you, Lee. So I want to give you a couple definitions here. So relationship, it is the, and this is just a dictionary definition. I went and looked it up in the Greek too for some of the scriptures that, so by the way, relationship is not in the Bible. The word relationship, never in the Bible. It is shown, but the word is never there. Jesus spends lots of time showing what relationship is, and I'm about to show you some of those scriptures. But when I went to go try to find words like relationship in the Greek, they weren't there. And I don't know why, but so I just had to go with a dictionary definition. So here's the dictionary definition. Relationship is the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or a state of being connected. So if I have a relationship with John, and me and John, we are connected, well, we can become disconnected, right? Something can happen, I can disconnect from John. But the word relationship has to do with my connectedness to something, right? So, didn't say anything about liking. It didn't say anything about loving. It didn't say anything about that, right? It just says that when two objects or people are connected, see, I want to make this really, really clear, because you're going to miss the whole point of the rest of the day if we don't get this down, okay? Because when we start talking about what relationship is and what relationship is not, we're going to find out that we don't have a good understanding of relationship with God and a relationship with people, right? So I want to give you one more definition before I get started here. The definition for like, and this has to do with a person or a thing, like having similar qualities or characteristics to another person or thing. See, we've got Facebook and we've got Instagram and we've got all these different things, and they got the like button, right? Well, if you're talking my politics, then I'm going to like it, you know, because that's what I like, right? Or if you share out a scripture that I like, right? Well, what if I shared out a scripture that, you know, maybe you didn't like, but it still was pertinent for you at that moment in time? We tend to go, I don't know about that, right? Like is saying that I identify with that thing, right? I essentially, if I like something, I go, oh, that's something I'd like to do, or it was something that embodies something that I want to do, right? So everybody turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and forth between probably the New King James Version and King James and the New Living Translation here. But let's start up in verse 1, okay? So Jesus had, just a little bit of background, in John chapter 13 and 14, Jesus had been coming in. They were preparing for the Sabbath. They had all kinds of discussions. He had told them, he said, hey, I've got this new commandment for you. Love your neighbor. He says, this new commandment that I have for you, you know, love your neighbor. I'm going to put all these other commandments over here, and I'm going to wrap it up all into this one thing. So he goes and he tells them that. So when we talk about John chapter 15, it is a specific word. It's a specific word picture for what God's relationship is with us and with religion. Okay? So I'm going to stop. I'm going to give you some little details here and there, but I want you to understand what we're talking about here. The whole day is going to be talking about relationship. Okay? So let's start out in verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He is the gardener. He is the vine dresser. It says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, and he makes it bring forth more fruit. Now, this is an important verse, because if you miss this verse, you just think, man, God's looking to cut me off this vine, right? So this verse is going to clear it up for you. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Boom. He just said, I talked to you about this, right? So I'm speaking these words to you. You guys are on the clean side, okay? I want you to understand that you're on the clean side. And I'm gonna kind of go back, because I listened to Selena, and God works awesome, because what happens is I come up with this message. I'd already done my pastor in your pocket, everything. Selena preaches last Sunday, and she goes on a rabbit trail. The reason why she went on a rabbit trail is because she particularly started talking about what purging looks like in order to create more fruit. Okay? So I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to let you go back and listen to Selena's message, because I don't want to re-preach her message, but I do want you to understand in these verses here that God is talking about how we interact with him. So in verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself, except it bears in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. So essentially, he's just saying, if you remain in me, if you say, I've accepted you, Jesus, then I'm a part of the vine. I'm a branch off of the vine, right? So essentially, here it says, I am the vine in verse 5, and ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abides in me, and he is cast forth as a branch, just means that he pops out of the vine, right? He's not saying that they've been cut off yet. This is still talking about, because I used to read this. I'm going to tell you what, guys. I used to read this, and it condemned me. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but every time I read John chapter 15, I thought, man, I'm a branch that's about to get cut off, right? Because there's a religious piece of me that was sitting there going, I'm a bad branch, right? God's looking to cut on me, right? So, but he tells us here in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And so he's essentially saying here that if you are just taking in what God has given you, the words, the promises that God has given you, then you're going to bear fruit out of those promises. Now, we've had lots of discussions over the last few months about the fruits of the Spirit. This is what we're talking about. And you know, Lincoln, we were at a men's meeting a couple weeks ago, and I'd done a teaching on spirit, soul, and body. And we were sitting there, and the Lord just had me give Lincoln one of these bubble levels that I had done for it. And we were explaining, hey, you know, if we focus on the outward thing, the circumstances, the, hey, I can't pay my bills, there's a lot of flu and sickness that's in the world or whatever, then I am walking in the flesh. But if I turn back to my promises and I look at my promises, then my soul, which moves like that bubble in that bubble level, if I turn my mind, will, and emotions back towards the promises, so if I abide in his word says that you are healed. By his stripes, you were healed. It says that you have love and joy and peace and goodness and long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. All of those fruits are in you. Then what happens is that as you focus on those things, then you bear much fruit. So that's what this is talking about. He's saying, I've spoke these words to you so that you bear much fruit, right? But this is where the rubber starts meeting the road, okay? Right here it says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then if you come down here, just one or two verses later, it says, this is my commandment. It's very pointed. It's only one of them. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Simple. Very, very simple. So we start asking, what is relationship? See, Jesus is showing you that there is a connectedness. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. That means that if you've heard these words and you believe them, then he is connected to you, right? It doesn't say that you're having to climb up the vine and attach yourself to the vine and you're having to do all these works in order to get yourself a part of the vine. It didn't say that. It says that if you hear my words and you abide in those words, then I'm part of the vine. I am connected. I have relationship with you. And the love that the Father has shown me, I have shown to you. And so, like Josh was saying this morning, God has come and given his Son when we were yet sinners. Christ came for us, right? He bankrupted heaven in order to make Jesus connected to us. Okay? So I want us to turn over to, and I'm going to bounce around here for a few minutes here, but Matthew chapter 21, verse 33. Everybody that wants to go there in your Bible, please do so now. Matthew 21, verse 33. Here's another parable. That with a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug the wine press and built a tower, and he leased it to the vine dressers and went into the far country. Now, when the vintage time drew near, he said to his servant and to the vine dressers, that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took its servant and beat one, killed one, and stoned the other. Again, he sent another servant, more than the first, and they did likewise to him. So these people that were taking care of this vineyard, man, they decided, hey, it's my vineyard now, right? It's my way of doing things. It's how I want to have this vineyard ran. So I'm going to kill everybody that the guy that owns it, I'm going to kill them when they come in. So it says right here, it says, and then the last, he sent his son and said, they will respect my son. But when the vine dresser saw that the son that they had set among themselves, that he is the heir, come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard come, what will he do to those vine dressers? So he's saying, hey, he killed my son. Now, dude's going to bring an army, right? He's going to come in. He's going to take back this vineyard, right? So we get down here and it says, he will destroy those wicked men miserably, and the lease of his vineyard and wine and vine dressers will be rendered to him in the fruits of their season. Jesus said unto them, have you never read the scriptures that the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is given to nations bearing the fruit of it. So I'm going to stop right there. Okay? Jesus is talking about this, and this parable used to just I didn't understand it. I didn't know why he would even put this in here. Because it kind of seems kind of weird, because when you're looking at Matthew chapter 21, he's talking about how, you know, the Pharisees and all these different people, that they're not good, and they're trying to destroy the temple. They're trying to do all these things. Well, he then tells this parable in the middle of it. So I didn't understand it. So I was praying about it one day. This is a couple years ago. And the Lord said, well, what is a vineyard? He goes, what is a vineyard? So I looked up vineyard in different ways, and I found it. And he goes, but what was a vineyard to me? He goes, what was a vineyard to me? And so I said, oh, it must be in the Word, right? So I started doing word searches on vineyard. So this is what came up. So in Isaiah 5:7, for the vineyard of the Lord of the host is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah and his pleasant plants. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. See, God is telling us through Matthew chapter 21 that the vineyard was the religious sect that had come up within Israel. See, Israel was God's chosen people. Israel was the people of God. But just like in Isaiah and Ezekiel and all that, they would stray from him, right? And so he would go back and say, oh, you know, I just want you, you know, he would go talk to Isaiah, and he would go talk to Ezekiel, he would go talk to all these prophets, and he would send them into the vineyard. He would send them into Israel. and they would beat and mock and kill the prophets. It happened over and over and over again. And why? Not because Israel was evil. I'm not bashing. This is not an Israel bashing moment. I'm just from a history lesson. Men, when they focus on my riches and my glory, then I'm going to use religion for my own help. I'm going to use religion for the things that I no longer, I'm going to have a relationship with God, and I'm going to have a relationship with people. Now I'm going to oppress people, and I'm going to make them give me more money, right? I'm going to go out to these other people in the world, and I'm going to get more from them. And so over and over and over again, God said, I sent people to tell you the truth, and then you killed them, or you threw them out, or you ridiculed them, or you did something to them. And see, I'm going to tell you what. God's talking about Israel right here. But if we're really truthful about this in our own heart, every single person has a religious thing that goes on in their mind. You may say, no, I don't. I stay away from religion. But our mindset is the most religious thing that I've ever seen. I've seen people who had grace after grace and understood the word, and then all of a sudden something happened and they changed. In a, almost it seemed like a split second, they went from God the Father to God the Destroyer. God's going to destroy America for all their sins and for all the sanctimonious people out there in Hollywood and all that are creating all this sin. They're just going to wipe it off the planet. If a hurricane hits New Orleans, it's because the hurricane was God's wrath on America. I got news for you. I know plenty of people that was in Mississippi and Alabama and in Louisiana and Texas that when the hurricane come through, it destroyed churches and it killed Christians. God's wrath must be on us then. If that's the case, but see, that's not what he's saying. He went after the religious system. That's why he sent Jesus, the vine, to give us a connectivity, to give us a relationship. Because before, the people were just out there, and the only thing they knew was, I've got to give my offering every single year. I've got to clean myself. I've got to do all that. Because that was the religious stuff that came as a part of Israel, right? In order to govern the nation, they came back and said, you have to give a certain amount or whatever. And they would go through and say, yeah, every year. Well, it became more about the giving than it became about the relationship. So God said, hey, I got to have a new relationship thing. I've got to send my son in order to become the vine so that when you believe in him, it is a connection that I have to you, that the glory of God from the fruit that you produce in your own heart. See, God's not saying you give me glory. Praise you, Lord. I mean, there's nothing wrong with praising God. We just did praise and worship. I have no problems with that. But it's not about what I give him that is the issue. It's not about what I give him that becomes the main focus. It's about the relationship. It's about being connected to him. See, the love of God is nothing more than, I want to be near you. I want to be connected to you. I don't even have to like you. Because I love you. You know, there's a lot of things God doesn't like. The Bible's full of stuff that it says he doesn't like. But it didn't stop him from not saying, I love you, and I want to be near you. See, I want you to understand this. I know that I'm doing a lot of teaching, and I know this seems dry. But you got to understand this, because if you don't, You're going to think about relationship from the perspective of like. And if you just say, do I like God? Well, there's a lot of stuff in the Word that I don't like. But I've started to love it. You know why I don't like it? Because it hurts when it comes out and says, hey, you need to be thinking about your heart in this. Do you believe what my Word says? Lord, that one area, I don't know if I want that from you. And he goes, okay. It's there. It's connected to you. See, Jesus made a one-way connection with us. Because of those words, he connected us, right? He made it to where we are connected in a way that we can't mess it up. All we got to do is turn right back around and say, here's the connection. God's always connected to me, right? But if we have this religious mindset and we disconnect ourselves, in John chapter 15, it says that men will come along and gather up the branches and throw them into the fire. It doesn't say God is doing it. It says they, men, are doing it. Okay. I promise, I'm going to get off this rabbit trail. Everybody turn over to Mark chapter 9, verse 49 and 50. And we probably are going to go over to, Mark chapter 9, 49 and 50. It says, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will it be seasoning it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one to another. So you sit there and go, okay, I don't know what that is, Dusty, because I didn't either. But... so give me 1 second. My notes got all messed up when I connected to the. I connected over to the thing just a minute ago. So it says here, and go over to Luke 14:32. Back to Matthew chapter 5. I'm really messed up right here because all my stuff was out of order, but I wanted to show this to you. So Matthew chapter 5 is the Beatitudes. Jesus goes and he's preaching to them and he's telling them, he basically tells them, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are meek. And he goes through and he's talking about this from the perspective of people who need relationship. They will find these things through relationship with others, through relationship with God. And so when you come down here to verse 13, it says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if it salt loses, the salt have lost its savor, wherewith it shall be salted, it is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot. Ye are the light of the world, and a city on a hill, and on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that when you that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So you listen to the Beatitudes and you're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? You just talked about all, you know, blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted, all that kind of stuff. And then you come and you start talking about light, you start talking about salt. And then this verse right here where it says, think that I've not come to destroy the law and the prophets. You're thinking, why does this matter? And the reason why this matters is because in Leviticus chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it says this. It says, for the oblation of the first fruit, which is just the gift, as for the gift of the first fruit, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savor, and every gift of thy meat offered shall thou season with salt. Neither shall thou suffer the salt of the covenant that God to be is lacking from thy meat offering. With thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. So he correlates salt and covenant. See, in Matthew chapter 5, he's telling them, he says, I created a covenant with you, the old covenant, right? I created this covenant with you that every time you salt this meat, that it's going to give it flavor, and it's going to be almost be like an offering between me and you of the covenant that I have cut with you. And see, this right here takes us back to God set out a covenant, and then men took that covenant and they turned it into their own use. Religion. They went from I'm going to have a God kind of mindset, and to a I'm going to create rules to put people under. And how do we know this? So in Exodus chapter 20, it tells us, it says, well, I'm actually going to go to Exodus chapter 19. Y'all don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you, because we're getting low on time here. But in Exodus chapter 20, God goes and tells Moses, he says, and I'll paraphrase here. So in Exodus chapter 20, he tells him, he goes, hey, I'm going to come down on the mountain, on Sinai, and I'm going to engulf it in a cloud and flames. And I want you to build a boundary around this thing, because if somebody touches it, they're going to die. Not because I want them to die, but because there's too much of me. They can't handle it, right? And he says, keep them away from it, right? Well, then, later on in that chapter, he tells him, he says, when I sound the trumpet, I want all of Israel to come onto the mountain so that I can teach them, right? So God wrote down in front of them, because Moses then goes and takes it to the elders, and the elders say, you know, hey, you know, we'll do this. Well, then the cloud comes down on top of the mountain, and it starts, you know, it's got all this fire and all this, you know, lightning, and the people are scared of it, right? And he said, well, when I blow the trumpet in Exodus chapter 20, come up here. And they said, no, Moses, no. We appoint you to tell us all the words that the Lord had told us, wanted to tell us. This is where the Levitical law came from. See, God was going to bring them onto the mountain, and he was going to sit down with them individually and say, love your neighbor. Don't take from your neighbor. Love me this way. I'll love you this way. And see, this was God's original intent. The law was not the original intent. Because in Exodus chapter 20, verses 21, it says, Moses, go and tell us all these things. So that's where it all came from. That's how God created this, was going to set up a relationship with the children of Israel. Well, the children of Israel said no. So God had to go in and do things just like in Leviticus chapter 2 where he said, hey, every time you salt the meat, think of our covenant. Every time you go give an offering, think of our covenant. He was still trying to have relationship with them. But God Almighty, when he comes to planet Earth, is too bad to the bone to be able to just touch. In fact, he told Abraham. Abraham told him over in Genesis. He said, I want to see you. And he goes, you can't handle me. You'll die. He goes, but if I turn my back to you, then you'll be able to look upon me. And it was so strong that the children of Israel could not look upon Moses for days. That was how strong God was. So God had to create a vine for the branch to attach to where we didn't have to worry about dying in order to like go and touch God. God lives on the inside of us through Jesus Christ. The vine is Jesus. And the vine is the connection that we have to God. And God's not saying, I want you to like me. God's not saying, I want you to like everything that's in my word. But everything that's in my word has a purpose, and that purpose needs to be looked at in your own life and to say whether or not you need to apply those purposes. Because Jesus said, I did not come to do away with the law and the prophets. Now, he's done away with, you know, if you're wearing mingled, you know, clothes or whatever, you're not going to be stoned to death. Or that was a law for Israel, and Israel alone. And the reason for that was because they'd just come out of Egypt, and they were mimicking Egypt. So there's some things in the Levitical law that had to do with Israel for the particular time. But guess what? God is going to prune on us, and he's going to say, hey, Dusty, you might not ought to do something. It would be for your best benefit to not do something because it's going to make you more healthy. It's going to make you more wise. It's going to have a purpose, right? So God sent Jesus, had him killed in order to plant that seed so that when he resurrected, we could believe upon him and that now we could have fellowship with God Almighty. And that we don't have to worry about our relationship with him because he is connected to us. Because we've heard his words and we've believed upon his words. You see, when we get this religious mindset about who God is. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, he's saying, hey, men are going to come and take your branch and they're going to throw it into the fire. Because this world is constantly trying to take us out of God's presence. He's trying to take us out of God's relationship. So back over to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 33. So I want you to kind of see what a relationship is with God in a relationship with other people. And I'm going to close out. I know it's a lot of teaching. I'm not preaching you happy or anything this morning, but I want you to understand what these things mean. So verse 33 in Matthew chapter 5, it says, he had just talked about, you know, the whole chapter 5 is about relationship with people. It's also about relationship with God. And in verse 33, it says, and again, ye have heard that ye have been said that to them in old times that ye shall not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, nor by God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. So he's saying here, don't swear. Not like, you know, don't say a cuss word, but he's saying, don't say, I am going to do something, you know, or I will die. Or I swear on my mother's grave. You ever heard that? You know, I swear to these things. Basically, there's things that you're not going to be able to keep. And so people are not going to be able to trust your word. So he says, don't do that. Don't swear at all. So later on down here, it says, so he goes through and he's talking about, you know, if people, and back in the Roman times, there was a law that said that if a Roman soldier asked you to take his stuff, that you were by law, you had to for a mile. That was a law back then. So he's talking about that. So if you ever wondered what that was, that when you go and study that out, basically Rome had a law that said you had to take a Roman soldier's stuff for like a mile. I guess every mile they would go and pick somebody else. I don't know how that would work. But anyway, it says in verse 43, and ye have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And I think I missed one of the things here, and it says, essentially he says up here, he says, in verse 37, but let your communication be yea and yea, or nay and nay, for whatever is more than these come of evil. So he's basically saying here, if you're going to talk with people, so if me and John are sitting there, and John says, hey man, you're going to come out to the men's fellowship this Thursday? And I go, well, you know, John, you know, I sit there and I'm going, deep down inside I'm going, no, I'm not going to be able to make it. But if I come back and I say, John, man, I'm not going to be able to make that. I'm just flat out. Then John's not sitting there going, okay, I got to keep up with, I got one more person, or maybe he's going to bring his son, or there's going to be, he's going, okay, I take them off the list. And because we should be okay. By the way, if you're having a relationship with people, it's okay for them to do something you don't like. That's what relationship is about. So if John's like, well, man, Dusty stood me up like 3 times. And he didn't like that. Well, the thing is that that's not what true relationship is about. True relationship is, man, I want to be connected to you in one way or another. And I want to have this relationship. So I'm not going to hold these things against you, right? There's a gentleman that we used to go to church with, and he sends me scriptures every day. Jerome Taylor Sr. This guy sends them to me, and we send stuff back and forth to him, and he just told me one time, he said, man, I still want to be connected. He goes, I'm praying for you. I want to send you these things because God is showing me how to uplift you. And I'm going to tell you what, there's been days where I'm sitting there and I open up my phone and I'm looking there and there's a scripture that is giving me an answer that he sent for my particular situation. And it's because I was connected with him, right? I don't see him every single day. I don't talk to him all the time. But me and him are connected to each other. And see, that's what God wants with us, is he wants us to be connected to where when we're just living our life, then all of a sudden we think, oh, Lord, I need a word from you. I need a scripture from you. I need a whatever. I'm not having to go, man, you know, I didn't read my Bible all week long, but I'm needing this from you. God's not sitting up there going, well, I didn't like that, so I'm not going to give you nothing. That's not it. God's sitting there going, you are part of the vine. You are connected. Because you have heard these words, you have been made holy. You've been made righteous. You have been made good. And God has a purpose and a plan, and he's not letting that thing go because you messed up this week. He's not cutting you off at the vine and saying, you're going to be thrown into the fire. He loves you. And as I close, I want everybody to understand that God wants us to love, to be in love with him and to love each other. But we don't tend to do that if we can't allow ourselves to be loved. You know, there's been times in my life I couldn't allow myself to be loved because I have said I've done too many bad things. I've done too much, and I need to have some sort of penance, or I need to have something that God, I need a confirmation that God's forgiven me. I'm just going to let you know, the scripture says that he has forgiven me. If you believe these words, then you are a part of the vine, and you will have much fruit. Now, does that mean that God, as a good father, is not going to say, hey, we might need to work on something? Yeah, absolutely. We've got to work on some stuff. But you know what? He loves you. God loves you so much that he gave his only son. And you know what he got back out of that? Because he is the vine and we are the branches. He got an inheritance of sons and daughters. All the things he wanted to do with Adam and Eve, now he has the ability through Jesus Christ to have a one-way connection to where he's never letting us go. He's holding on to us so tight, it hurts. It hurts. And he's saying, hey, I just want to talk to you. So as I'm closing this out, if you feel like that you've just been sitting there for however long, last few months, and you say, you know what, I just don't feel worthy enough. I just don't know if God loves me. I want everybody to close your eyes right now. Bow your heads. Right now, I want everybody to just raise their hands and just thank God for just giving us this one-way connection. Father, I just, right now, I come to you in Christ Jesus' name. I just thank you, dear Lord, that you have holy people in here, that you have righteous people in here, that you have people who are just so much that you've loved on, and that they are now able to receive your love. Right now, just reach up and say, Lord, I receive your love. I may not have known that you've loved me. I may not have known that there was, that I thought I had to do something for it. I thought I was going to have to go and beat myself up, either mentally or physically, in order to make this thing work. But Lord, I'm seeing today that you want this relationship. You have created this unbreakable barrier between Jesus and me, and that I'm a vine, and that yes, Lord, as a part of being a good father, you come and you talk to us and you tell us these are the things that we need to work on. But hey, I'm so proud of you, my son. I love you so much, my daughter. And I just pray, dear Lord, that everybody just receives that right now in Jesus' name, that there is no doubt. that all religious thinking that has been crammed into us has been unraveled today. Religious thinking of what I've had to do, but all I've had to do is just remain. I just have to be. I'm receiving that because I thank you, Father, that that's a great reminder. It's a great reminder that I don't have to do nothing. I'm just a part of the vine. And that out of that vine, when I believe in your words, that there's much fruit. And that it's just continuing to just blossom and overflow. So, Father, I just come to you right now in Jesus' name, just thanking you and praising you for all that you've done through Jesus and for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there anybody that needs healing today? Is there anybody that needs prayer for anything? Does somebody need prayer for a situation? Need agreement? That's what we're here for in the body. We're connected one to another in order. In James chapter 4, it actually says that when we tell our issues one to another, that we will be healed. You know why that is? It's because when I connect up to Lincoln and I'm like, man, I got this problem. And Lincoln goes, but the word says that you're blessed and you're healed and you're set free. Now I know something. And he can stand with me and I can stand with him. We've seen people healed and set free of so many things over the last few years that, you know, I sometimes take for granted all the things that God has done because God is constantly putting people together that have gifts and that I need to draw from those gifts. You know what? You need to draw from those gifts from others too. I'm going to ask one more time. Does anybody need prayer? Does everybody know Jesus? Yes. Amen. Amen. You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Amen. Amen. I don't know. There's something here that I've got to stop for a second. There's somebody that needs prayer for something. There's somebody in here that doesn't believe this. They don't believe that God loves them. Come here. Come here.
Okay. So when my mom, I was 18 and my mom moved, or she just, one morning we woke up and she was like, I'm going to go to the store. And I was like 3 months pregnant with Jordan and she just left. And, I knew something was off, but anyway, she went to Texas to be with another man, and it was like last Sunday, the Lord was telling me that he loves us, and he doesn't get tired of us. Amen. So, like, I don't know if other people may have had parents like that, where you feel like they're just, they got tired of you, you know, like, it was just too much. I didn't want to share this, but I felt too. I don't know why it's so emotional, but she left, and the thought that I kept thinking was it was just too much for her. Like, and the Lord was just saying, he doesn't get tired of us. He doesn't, like you said, I don't have to like you to love you. Like, even if you did all the crazy things and you're so annoying, he's passionately in love with you. He doesn't give up. You know, he doesn't grow weary of a long relationship with us.
That's right.
He enjoys it.
Absolutely. So. That is awesome. That is awesome. Do you know what happened last Sunday? That was soulful healing. You found out a promise. You know what's so awesome about finding out a promise is when it becomes real to you, then it takes that weight off, right? I saw it when you started talking. That it was just like somebody had just ripped a layer of concrete off of you. You know what? That's good. Did it feel good? It felt really good. It feels good to be able to say, I've got a loving Father that he just wants nothing but good for me. And yeah, I may mess up. I do. I personally do. But you know what? God is not grow weary of that. God is sitting there saying, hey, I love you. I want you to be in a relationship with me. I want to be connected with you so strongly that there is nothing that can break our bond. Amen. Amen. We'll give it another second. Anybody else got anything else? I just keep coming back to you. God loves you so much. And he wants you to know that. Whatever you've been told by people that have had religious mindsets to try to tell you differently, they're wrong. God loves you so much, there is nothing that you can do to stop that. And he just wants you to have more connectedness, more relationship with him. Nothing you got to do, just know him. God is there and he wants that for you. And yes, he gets a real big kick out of seeing fruit just bloom out of you. That's why it said that it was to his glory to see you grow and to prosper in that relationship. You know what? Just take that one thing home with you. Think about it. Talk to the Lord about it and say, yeah, you really love me. Because I believe that part of this was for you. But he loves you so much and he wants you to know this and to live in it. Okay? Anybody got anything they want to say? Absolutely.
Just to add to that he loves you so much. Let me just phrase this. Sometimes we don't understand everything. Why do bad things happen? Why did I get sick? Why did I have an accident? Why did my mom abandon me? Why? If you really loved me, you wouldn't have allowed all this to happen. It's not even related. And so if you just respond to his love and go, okay, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and you can explain all this stuff to me as we go. But I don't have to have those answers in order to respond to your love. So we may not understand, because sometimes we hang that on certain hooks, right? Sometimes we think, well, if he's really a good God, then how come all this bad stuff happens in the world? There's an answer to that. It's just not what we think. Right? And so but that answer takes relationship, and it takes conversations with him and with other people and walking through it and understanding and wrestling with it and then coming back and getting another layer off and all of that. So that takes time and it takes intentionality, and you know, but you can't just miss out, maybe because we don't understand. And like, I don't know you, so I have no context for any of that. So I just felt like maybe that would help clarify.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we live in a fallen world, right? So, I mean, at the end of the day, God gave us a will. There are people who are going to do the opposite of what they should do. And we have to know that. See, that's why God created the one-way bridge to connect us via the vine and the branch. is that I'm not encumbered upon Heather in order to have a relationship with God. Mine and Heather's relationship is awesome, but if it wasn't, I still can have a great relationship with God. So if something happens, if something goes on in our life, we have to know that there's other people that have a will, and there are other people that have, they make their own choices. I got news for you. Anybody been in a car accident? How many people's been in a car accident you didn't have anything to do with it? About the only time that happens if you're just sitting still. I mean, I'm Lee. Most of the time, we're riding down the road and we go, oh, I didn't pay attention to this or I didn't pay attention to that. We have pieces. We're not going to talk about accidents, Lee. But at the end of the day, we have our part where we have to go, wait a minute, I need, you know, where am I at in this certain circumstance? I make bad decisions every single day. God had nothing to do with my bad decision, right? God had nothing to do with if I made a bad decision. But you know what? At the end of the day, He's still God, He's still there, and He still loves you. And He still connected to you, and He has that relationship. So I'm going to close this out. If no one has anything else, you got something, John? Absolutely.
You know, I heard it in the spirit the moment you said the one-way bridge. You know, we're taught that. If you've been a Christian for a long time, you're taught that. It's an expression we like to use, that Jesus is one way, and of course He is one way. But I want you to look at that one-way bridge in another aspect. Once you've crossed that bridge with Him, it's illegal to go back the other way. You can't go back the other way. Once you're connected to Him, you are forever connected to Him, because He's the one that made the connection.
That's right.
He's the one you got in the car with to cross the bridge. And there's no ferry, there's nothing else that goes back to backtrack where you were. Once you've crossed that bridge with Him, you are forever in Him.
That's right.
So when we think of one way, when you hear that, I want you to think of that. I want you to think that once you're there, you are forever there. And there's nothing that you can do. There was nothing that you could do to merit crossing the bridge. It's everything that Jesus did for you, on your behalf, in your stead. He brought you across.
Absolutely.
And you cannot undo through your own works what He has done through His to save you.
That's right. You know, and that's so good, John, because one of the things that people, you know, in John chapter 15, later on, it actually says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I came for you. And so I've had people that told me, oh, once I did believe and now I don't believe. Well, I just call bull crap on that. I'm just gonna tell them straight up, you're wrong. If you truly believed, now you may have said, God, I'm gonna make an oath. That's why He says, don't make an oath. God, if I do this and I do this and I'm really good, can I get my bicycle? I remember when I was a kid, I'll tell this quick story. I was a kid and I was like 7-8 years old, and I wanted this bicycle, and I've been talking to my parents and they were just telling me, I don't know if it's gonna happen. I don't know if it's gonna happen. And so Christmas Eve night, I'm sitting there and I'm bartering with God. I'm like, God, if you just help me get this bicycle, I promise I will pray every day. I will read my Bible. I will do this. Well, how many people in here knows Dusty got the bicycle the next day and did not pray or read his Bible the next day? He was riding his bicycle. That's truth. We're not supposed to barter with God. We're not supposed to make these swears of, I will do this if you do this. Because God said, hey, I'm making a covenant with you. I chose you. You didn't choose me. All we have to do is believe. And you know what? I call bullcrap on anybody that says, well, I believed at one time and I don't believe now. No. Even the atheist, if you put a gun to their head, they're going to go, please, Jesus. Please, Jesus. And it's because every man in their heart, Romans chapter 2 actually says that in every man's heart, the love and the law of God has been put in their heart. It's just truth. Even if they've never heard who Jesus or who God was, they know in their heart there is a God. So if anybody comes up to me and you're listening to this and you say, yeah, I'm one of those people, I'm just going to tell you, you're wrong. Absolutely. Okay. So I'm going to pray for us and I'm going to release us. And everybody bow your heads. Father, we come to you in Christ Jesus' name. We just thank you, dear Lord, for today. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we have a relationship with you, Father, that you don't break this relationship. I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we're growing stronger with you in this connected bond of knowing who you are, so that we bear much fruit. Just like in 1 Peter chapter 2, where it says that it's by the knowledge of God that we obtain righteousness and peace. And Father, it's to your glory. It's saying it's a part of the fruit. It's a part of the thing that just grows out of me when I know who you are. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that each and every one of us walk away here with a little bit more knowledge of knowing what you did and how you connected us together in a way that religion doesn't break it, men do not break it, and you definitely don't break it. And that, yes, we can get crazy ideas. We can get crazy religious ideas and think, I've messed up, but you have created in us this connection. You chose us. We didn't choose you. And Father, I just pray over each and every person that goes this week. I pray for blessing after blessing after blessing upon the people that they...